Blog Talk Radio.
Engage for Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there's a better way to work.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Engage for Success Radio. My name's Jo Moffat, and I'm the host for today's show. I'm Managing Director and Founder of the Creative Communications Consultancy Woodread, and as well as being a member of the Guru Group of Engage for Success, I'm also a part-time host for the Engage for Success blog talk radio show. At Woodread, we work with a range of clients, from leading blue-chip clients through to not-for-profit organisations and public sector bodies, to help them use their brands as a tool to drive employee engagement. So for us, the brand inside is as important as the brand outside. I'm very pleased to welcome as our guest this afternoon Shelley McIver. Shelley is a partner at Global Action Plan, who are a charity who work with schools, youth groups, the NHS, as well as FTSE 100 companies in creating and delivering sustainability. Shelley herself has worked in the sustainability sector for over 6 years, and before that she was leading major behavioural change programs for large corporates. So I think she's going to have some really interesting stuff to share with us this afternoon. So welcome to the show, Shelley.
Thank you, Jo. Thanks for having me.
That's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. Can we kick off first of all by defining what we actually mean by sustainability, Shelley? Is there a nice pithy definition that you can share with us?
Well, actually, I think if you asked 20 sustainability people, they'd all come up with something different. But for me, it really means long-term resilience and relevance. When I'm working with organizations, I'm saying, you know, 20 years from now, what do you want your ideal operating environment to look like? And what are all the factors that are going to influence that? For example, the talent you want to bring on, the resources you rely on, your sort of the complexity of your external environment, and it's going to radically change. And for us, sustainability is about recognizing that. And that's on a sort of very professional, objective, rational corporate level. I suppose on a personal note, for me, it's a lot to do with respect. It's respecting and understanding where things come from, especially the stuff that I rely on or organizationally we rely on for our own health and well-being. And I think when you do understand it and you embrace that interdependency, very special things happen.
Okay. So interdependency, I'm going to struggle to get my teeth around that this afternoon, but I'll do my best. But that's obviously key, isn't it, really?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think being aware of the implications and the long-term implications of everything and how it all interconnects.
Yeah, well put.
So how did you yourself? You were talking personally. It's to do with respect, and I can see that. I can sort of understand that. How did you come to get involved in the whole sort of sustainability area?
Oh, well, it's interesting. I think from a teenager, I became a bit of a hippie, partly through ill health and needing to be more aware of what I ate, and sort of went on a very strict organic and gluten-free and sugar-free diet, which, so you know, many people have probably experienced at some point. Mm-hmm. And it's made me start asking where our food came from, and was quite shocked. I mean, this was 15 years ago, at how sort of warped it had all become, really, and how difficult it was to find food that didn't damage the environment. And that led me, really, after university to go and work at the Soil Association, the Organic Food and Farming Charity, which is the most fantastic organization. But I did get a sense that it wasn't going to train me to implement change at scale really efficiently and effectively. And so I thought it was the right change, but I didn't know how well I was ever going to get at implementing that change. I mean, that they're an extraordinary organization, so I'm not talking them down. So for me, it was really going out there, working in – I worked with some amazing corporates. I joined an incredible talent graduate scheme with Lloyd's TSB, and just learn how to implement really large-scale change, especially people change. Mm-hmm. And then one day, about 6 years ago, it suddenly occurred to me that I could bring, it was time, that I could bring the hippie and the businesswoman back together and start, you know, creating the change that I wanted to see in this world. And I have to say, there are so many other people on the journey doing some very cool stuff out there. It's a very inspiring line of work to be in.
So it was the world kind of caught up a bit, did it, Shelley?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I would say more and more business leaders are recognising this not as an ancillary sort of project, a philanthropic project almost on the side of, you know, core business decisions and core business operations. Mm. Sustainability is just commercial strategy, but for 10 years' time. Mm-hmm. And actually, three of the clients I'm working with at the moment, FTSE 100 companies, their commercial strategy is the same as their sustainability strategy.
Mm. It's not something that you just go and do, oh, by the way, we need a sustainability strategy. It is absolutely inherent in their commercial strategy.
Absolutely. And I would just say that it involves understanding where things come from and how we're very complexly interdependent with things, and that's often, you know, the specialist knowledge that sustainability teams need to bring in.
So I guess once upon a time it was that bolt-on, though, wasn't it? It was like we need to be able to say we've got a strategy so that we can put it on page 12 of the annual report, rather than, whereas now what you're saying is that the organisations that embrace it properly recognise that it's just integral to the way they do things.
Oh, absolutely, and a huge commercial advantage. I mean, if you read interviews by sort of Ronan Dunn from O2 or Paul Palmer from Unilever, or, you know, M&S sort of board of directors, even their finance director or their HR director, this is fundamental to how they're going to be a thriving organisation now and in the future.
Right.
And it's great to hear it, actually, because that's brave leadership.
Mm. Okay, interesting. So when you finally brought the hippie and the businesswoman back together again, which I think is a lovely, lovely picture, actually, I can see that working well, was that when you joined Global Action Plan?
Yeah, I'd actually been self-employed for a while, and just doing my own little brilliant pet projects, and then came across, well, not pet projects, working with, you know, clients and their amazing ideas, and came across this Global Action Plan, which is one of the sort of few consultancies, I suppose, out there that is a charity.
Right.
And it was set up, it's amazing, it was set up 20 years ago, really out of the belief that sustainability at the time was being, at the Rio Earth Summit, was being talked about in terms of technology that needed to be created and policies and governments that needed to get off their bum and do something. And actually, it was all very disempowering. And actually, there's a hell of a lot, you know, this is our future and our children's future, and there's a lot that we can be involved in here and today. And it's a very, its values are very positive, inclusive. You know, we work with anyone, wherever they are, at whatever stage of the sort of journey they are, whether they're fellow hippies or, you know, fully approved cynics. We just believe everyone has a role to play. And it's such a great. So I joined them about 2 years ago, and it's a really, really fantastic group of people doing some great things.
And do you were talking about, you listed some organisations just now, Marks & Spencer, for example, O2. Does Global Action Plan work only with those sort of big organisations, or do you work more broadly than that?
No, we work with, we tend to work with communities of people, because that's the most effective way of implementing behaviour change. So we work with schools, youth groups, housing associations. We have a fantastic program running at the moment with BART TLCs. We work a lot. We're working with, I think, 12 hospitals this year. Mm-hmm. And we also work with about 50% of our work, I would say, is with businesses.
Right.
We do a lot of work sort of into big household programs. And it's really where communities can come together and, you know, have a big impact working together. Mm-hmm. And we just try and be the catalyst and facilitator for that. And actually, we found that SMEs, you know, small businesses are often better at this than the big corporates, because they feel that bottom line impact much quicker.
Right. So that kind of leads me on to the sort of million-dollar question, really. And then you've touched on it already, which is that actually there's a huge commercial advantage to be had from embracing sustainability. It's clearly much more than a nice to have, then, isn't it? What's the sort of reason? What are the sort of commercial advantages that you see?
On a very high, broad brush level, all the work we do, we always connect it back to the core purpose of the organisation. So, for example, the work we're doing with the hospital trusts is working with all staff in the hospitals to engage them on three behaviour changes that they can do. So switching off lights, turning off electrical equipment when not in use, and closing doors, all of which have had a very significant financial impact on sort of the energy efficiency of the building, but actually all three of which also affect patient sleep, which is the largest non-medical intervention that can happen to improve patient recovery times, which is also an operational cost. And so we're actually helping the hospital heal people quicker, as well as saving money on their energy efficiency. So, I mean, that's a really small example, but there is a sort of business case structure, so there's sort of seven business benefits that we always look at around employee engagement, which we shall talk about later, around brand and reputation, around sort of strategic and commercial advantage. A lot of innovation comes from this. Risk mitigation and management, operational efficiency. So, I mean, we always work to a business case, partly because it keeps us focused. And actually, I tend to find it produces better programs. And it might just be that you push your, if you really believe it's a great idea, but the business case isn't evident, some of the more daring organizations like O2 will just push their ROI back to, say, 5 years and say, we know there's a business case in here, you know, and we are going to find it. Because then that's financially sustainable as well.
Yes. Yeah, that's really interesting, that healthcare example you've described, because I can imagine that you could very easily just get complete, you could just go down the sort of very one-dimensional route of saying, well, if we turn the lights off, we'll save energy. End of.
Yeah.
That will be that will be perfectly, then that actually that will be a perfectly adequate KPI and a perfectly adequate return on investment, wouldn't it? But actually, you take it a step further, and what you actually turn this into is something that is actually helping them to deliver against their core purpose as well, which is actually making people better. That's fascinating.
And it's about, and it's that sort of back to that long-term relevance. It's about adapting the world and how quickly it's changing, and all these new complex demands that are coming through and responding to that, you know, and it's a great job.
Interesting. Okay, so I think one of the things that I wanted to go into a little bit more detail was and it really leads on from this, is looking at the business case and looking at what's going on from a sustainability perspective, in terms of the sort of the broad business objectives, and I believe that you've got some information to talk about the O2 work that you've been doing, and I'd like to sort of really move on to that if we can, and talk a little bit more about O2 and their Think Big project. Can you give us a little bit of background to that first of all, Shelley?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a wonderful team and a very impressive board at O2 who, I think in 2009, set out a series of Think Big blueprint commitments. And if anyone Googles that, it's really worth a read if you want to know what a good sustainability strategy looks like. And really it was a set of commitments that they made to themselves and to their community and shareholders and stakeholders around the difference that they were going to make over the next, you know, they range over time. And it's things like they've backed 5,000 young people to lead community projects across the UK. They've improved the lives of over 600,000 young people through the development of local community initiatives, which young people also run. We've been doing some work with them around flexi working, so how you can use technology to make ways of working more sustainable and people's sort of CO2 impact reduced through, you know, reducing unnecessary travel. So it's a fantastic set of commitments. And we were particularly interested when we were working with them around the fact that something was happening to the employees as a result of being involved in these programs. So not only were the programs being delivered, you know, and employees were being involved in making that happen, but as a result, employee performance was going up. And anecdotally, we were receiving a lot of feedback saying, I feel totally differently about working here. Programs and because of this Think Big, you know, these commitments. And what we wanted to do was go about proving that really and actually putting a measure to it, because often we find the employee involvement piece or the employee engagement piece of any sustainability program is the sort of poor cousin. You know, it's the bit that gets the least funding, the least investment. And not only that, but we felt it was very odd that these things were happening in HR, in the HR function down the corridor, so employee engagement and employee training and training courses, and then they were separate from sort of involving employees in some of these other programs and projects. And we just wanted to explore how they came together and sort of what the business case was around that, and then therefore, was there an even smarter way of doing it, you know, now that we're actually looking at it in this way?
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. So in other words, back to the NHS trust and lights, it's more than just saving money on energy bills. It's actually what's the impact of that on the employees who have embraced this program in terms of their broader engagement with the organization and the impact that has on their contribution to the business, yeah?
Mm. Absolutely, yeah. And it
was okay. How did you go about measuring that?
So we started out, there was a lot of fragments of the business case out there already, either in academic research or in case studies from some of these more leading organizations who were sort of reporting either improvements in staff motivation or staff absenteeism or staff retention or performance or even sort of promotion of the brand that they worked for, because they had been involved in sustainability programs. But what we were surprised to find was no one had brought all of that together and said, okay, what would the whole business case look like? What are all the possible different benefits? So that's what we did with Telefonica, and then we looked at, okay, what data do we have to prove each of these? Because we all know that data tends to be, in most organizations, imperfect. So it was more around putting that framework together and then looking at how much of it we could prove within Telefonica.
Mm-hmm.
So we gathered the data, however imperfect, and we also interviewed 147 staff that were involved. Mm-hmm. We looked at things like their performance scores and their interviews, performance scores, absenteeism scores, and sort of mm-hmm. retention scores and that sort of piece.
Mm-hmm.
And also their quarterly engagement results as well, and oh, where
right.
we
so
could, you know, at
they
the
do that quarterly then, do they? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And the findings on the most of conservative estimates that we could, you know, scrape through and just saying, you know, really, 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 if we're extra conservative, the return on investment, so for every pound Telefonica spent on involving its employees in these programs, the value back to Telefonica was £1.40. So the conservative business case, it was very strong indeed.
Mm.
But what we also found, sorry, I was about to say, what we also found was that staff also reported that some of the benefits that they were receiving through these programs, for example, that their leadership skills and their confidence skills, the confidence in their work was improving. It was more effective to improve those skills or improve their confidence through this route than it was through the more traditional L&D routes. So
interesting.
It was an absolutely fascinating study, actually, and there were a lot of sort of life-changing moments that were reported by staff members, which was quite extraordinary. We had a few of our interviewers crying.
Really? So what crying, can you,
yeah.
Can you share? I mean, is any of that able to be shared, or is that sort of? What sort of things did they talk about?
Well, I think a lot of it was, for example, people not realizing the value of the skills that they do know at work. So, for example, interview techniques or management techniques, or and working, especially their work that they did with young people. Really mm-hmm. being able to do something that makes a difference, and also that they were able to link that back to a sense of Telefonica as an organization and how the work Telefonica does makes a difference.
Right.
And so they were much more engaged with the sort of wider blueprint movement because they'd seen a piece of it come to life in an interview room or in a one-to-one with a young person.
Mm-hmm. So if we think about the Engage for Success four enablers, and one of them is the strong strategic narrative, a clear sense of purpose for the organisation. By being involved in a sustainability program like this, then those individuals who were involved got a much better sense, or seemed to have a more robust sense of the actual commercial purpose of the organisation that they were working for, as well. So it kind of reinforced
absolutely.
That. Yeah. So what kind of O2 people are we talking about here? Are we talking retailers, Shelley, or call centre people, or commercial head office people?
We focused our data just on call centre staff.
Mm-hmm.
But, a lot of the work I do is with the head office staff and with retail staff, and I know it's mirrored across the whole organisation.
Mm-hmm.
So, in fact, looking forward, we would love to, I think we're going to go back with Telefonica soon and re-look at the data across different employee groups just to prove that point, really.
Right, right. And if we took, for example, some call centre staff getting involved in the Think Big project, were they given time out of their normal working hours to do stuff? How did it practically work?
So they're given volunteering time. But they also run training days at their call centres.
Mm-hmm.
They run
mm-hmm.
fundraising events. They mm-hmm. Run sort of interview technique and CV technique,
mm-hmm.
and the sort of employability type programs, often
mm-hmm.
in their centres. And I think a lot of staff members sort of really get personally involved with the journeys of the young people that they work with, and
right.
And just sort of inspired by the talent and the boldness, I suppose, their willingness to sort of really identify sort of community issues and sort of the braveness with which, or the courage with which they sort of take them on with really a relatively small startup seed fund, and
mm-hmm.
and I think just realizing the sort of value of coaching and supporting those young people is really extraordinary.
And then the knock-on effect from that, as you say, is you've identified that actually the employees involved in this actually raise their game more than you would normally expect them to do through traditional learning and development types of training programs. So they actually
yeah.
became more valuable to Telefonica as a result of being involved in this work, yeah?
Absolutely. And actually, for example, all of our interviews, we also interviewed the line managers.
Mm-hmm.
And 88% of managers rated in terms of the skills around leading and encouraging others, 88% of managers rated that the involving employees in these programs is as effective or more effective than in putting them on a classic leadership L&D course.
Right.
So it was that level of sort of response that we were getting back, and it was the same really across other skills like confidence, motivation, productivity, team cohesion, networking,
mm-hmm.
presentation, communication, all of those sort of areas, it was, remarkably more effective to involve sort of experiential learning rather than classic sort of classroom or online learning.
Interesting. And through the course of this research, you've found out where the best places to involve people are, where you can really make a difference by getting them involved in sustainability programs. Is that right?
We're getting there, and actually that's really what I would like to ask of any of the listeners. I think this
mm-hmm.
is Telefonica bravely put themselves forward as the first test case on this, to get the conversation started and say, why don't we talk about this? Why don't we talk about the value back to the organization of involving employees?
Right.
I think the benefit to Telefonica certainly is being now that we're measuring it, we can manage
mm-hmm.
it better. And there's been a lot of recommendations gone back into them around how they involve employees, when they involve them, what returns they're looking for. I know there's some conversations happened with the L&D team as well, which is really innovative.
Mm-hmm.
I think going forward, I think we need a few case studies like these to come together and share their learning across. We're looking for another three or four organisations to really lead the conversation for the rest of the UK and worldwide, really, which is what does effective employee involvement look like? Whereas at the moment, we sort of ask people to be involved where they can. And I think there's something far more strategic about integrating it with people's skill sets and development areas and, you know, day-to-day jobs, actually.
Yes. Okay. And so if you're wanting, you're interested in discovering three or four more organisations who perhaps want to be measured in the same way that you've measured Telefonica, is that right?
Yeah.
What sort, through the course of this show, we can sort of ask people to get in touch. So what kind of organisations or what kind of people are you interested in talking to, Shelley?
Well, we are really lucky to be working with Cardiff University, who are sort of leading thinkers in this space. And they've said to us that actually, if we're going with this case study approach, we can work with any organization that believes it has a level of business case in the work that they've done with employees so far. So it doesn't have to be, you know, groundbreaking. It can just be, I know there's something in here. I'm seeing it anecdotally every day. I'd love to have numbers put next to it.
I'd like to be able to measure it in the same way that you've talked about with O2, yeah?
Absolutely. And then putting those numbers to it is sort of a huge benefit, I think, for the organization itself and for the employee engagement manager or for the sustainability team. But also, it helps you design going forward a much more strategic, value-oriented approach engaging employees. And we have huge case studies that, you know, because we see this every day. And unfortunately, we need people to sort of be willing to share their experience with the world. And the world is very interested, very keen to hear this. So.
So how do they get involved, Shelley?
I think the best thing would be, so the report that we've done with Telefonica is available on our website, so
www.globalactionplan.org.uk,
and we'll also put it with you on the Engage for Success website, and actually to contact me directly, so shelley.mciver@globalactionplan.org.uk, I'd be delighted to receive your interest and your emails.
Okay, so there is actually a report that goes into more depth about what we've been touching on here in terms of the O2 experience. Then that's all out in the public domain, or will be in the public domain.
Because that's
fascinating. I mean, that's a very enlightened approach on the part of Telefonica as well, isn't it? Actually, that they're happy for that. I mean, it's a very sustainable approach to life in a sense that they're actually practicing what they preach by allowing that sort of information to be available to the wider world.
Yeah, I mean, they're really collaborative, very forward-thinking. It's been a real privilege for us to work with them, actually. But I think it pays dividends. The level of thinking and the level of ambition and intention, really, that I see in the staff there, especially in the sort of staff responsible for delivering these commitments, is extraordinary, and it's led to such innovation. You know, they're often in the headlines, you know, really leading on innovation in their sector, you know, all credit to Ronan and the board, really, for leading that.
Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, I know it's just been a fairly quick romp through the topic, Shelley, but I found it really interesting because it totally reinforces a conversation I was having with one of my clients about a year ago, where they were actually doing something not dissimilar on a slightly smaller scale, I suspect, and they were saying to me, "And you know what? We find that the people that get involved in this are actually." It improves their presentation skills. It improves their confidence skills. So we use it as a learning and development opportunity, albeit it is ostensibly our. They actually were talking about it in the sort of CSR context rather than sustainability. But I mean, they're all bound up, aren't they? Really?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's just different scales of the same sort of good intention. It's the extent to which it's core and integrated to what you do, or it's, you know, and strategic, or it's ancillary
lovely.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much indeed for joining us today, Shelley. As I said, quick romp through, more information on the website, and you can find the report at Global Action Plan's website. So thank you very much for joining us. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Engage for Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there's a better way to work.